right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of Sticky Bleachers, a podcast. I'm Bobby here with you today.
And I am Corey, your international sports connection who does not know or care very much about international sports.
That's why we hired you, Corey.
Yes, I know. The soccer season is in full swing here. I think the English Premier League, their major leagues of soccer, is reaching their reaching the end. I don't know if they have a playoff or something. I'm going to sound very, very stupid, very ignorant. But I always listen very carefully because there is a English Premier League team that's called Leicester. And it's spelled like L-E-I-C-S-T-E-R, something like that. And then there is an Irish province, actually the province in which Dublin is called Leinster. And they have a rugby team. But Leicester has a soccer team. And so I have to, when I hear the sports report, I have to listen really carefully and use context. Like, who are they talking about? Like, did Leinster play Harlequins? And I'm like, okay, now we're talking about rugby because Harlequins is like a tough rugby sports name.
Absolutely.
Or did Leicester play Swansea? And I'm like, okay, now I know we're in soccer land.
Yeah, Swansea, you get the soccer land.
Yeah.
See, it's all you just got to talk with authority, Corey.
Have you ever actually heard of Swansea, Bob?
I think actually, I have.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure if that was a riff or if you were like, oh yeah, Swansea, of course.
Yeah, well, if you would ask me, like, what sport does Swansea play? And I'd be like, I'd probably say soccer.
Probably say soccer. Well,
or water polo.
Yeah. But now what if I had not given away the Harlequins, Bob, and said, what sport do you think a team named the Harlequins
What's that
plays?
Sport in Harry Potter? What they play?
Quidditch.
Quidditch.
That's a good name for a Quidditch team, the Harlequins.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Well, it's like the clowns, but it's a specific kind of clown. My gosh.
Oh, it is. It's a specific type of clown, really?
I think so. I don't know.
I didn't know there were specific clowns. I didn't know.
Yeah. If you ever watch that Modern Family episode, you get a quick primer on the different families of clowns. One of them is the August clown. One of them is the tramp.
Really?
And I don't know. There's several more. I don't know. I'm not a clown expert, and this is not a clown podcast, although I'm sure if you looked hard enough, you could find a clown podcast about clown styles and clown techniques.
There's tons of money in a clown podcast.
What would it be called? Balloon?
Clowning around.
The clowning around. See, but that's too easy.
Is that too
easy.
Low? Is that low, low-hanging easy. Fruit?
Yeah. It'd have to be a deep cut, like Big Shoes Radio or something like that.
Big shoes to fill.
Big shoes to fill. Too many men in this podcast car.
Honk, honk.
Honk, honk. Whoa, that goes real deep. That goes real
that's
deep.
That's good, yeah. Uh-huh.
Red Nose Radio.
Well, ooh, you could just go, welcome back to honk, honk. So.
There you go. There
you could just have the little honk, honk sound.
Yeah, so the name of your podcast can be an unpronounceable onomatopoeia sound of just honk, honk. But it's hard. That'd be hard to write in an SEO way if you wanted it to be found on your search engine.
It's true. Well, you can just spell it honk, honk. So.
Honk, honk.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not high-class clown enough, though. That's not, like, no. I mean, I don't know. You don't
Classic
understand,
clown.
Bob. You don't live in Europe. You don't live in Europe where we're sophisticated and we know how clowning works.
Are you getting clowns confused with mimes? Because mimes, I think, are the sophisticated clowns.
Yeah, that's true. And as we know from Spinal Tap, mime is money.
Mime is money.
Come on. Mime is money. What are you doing?
Isn't Billy Crystal the mime, or is he a waiter?
No, I think Billy Crystal is... They are mime waiters.
The mime waiters, that's right.
And there's an assistant... And Billy Crystal is like his boss, who is the mime waiter boss, and is chewing out the other mime waiter for not serving the canapé correctly or something.
Talk about movies that still hold up.
That thing is awesome.
If you ever need a good hour and 10 minutes to kill, that's how to do it right there.
Yeah, no, it's a nice length, isn't it? Too, it's just perfect. It just
and
fits
it just
everything.
Flows. There's no point where you're like, okay, let's just get through this scene here.
There
everything
you go.
Is
if
gold.
If you haven't seen it at Spinal Tap, anyone, I know there's some young folks who might be listening to this. I mean, you will see that and you will go, oh, that's where that comes from. That's where that comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Every cliche that you hear on the internet today mostly came from Spinal Tap and Blazing Saddles.
Mostly, yeah. And if you've ever been in a band, it is actually a documentary of a band. It is not a mockumentary.
Yes, I mean,
those are real life events.
Yeah, Bob has spent more time as a professional touring musician than I have, and I'm sure that your existence is pretty much spot on to the Spinal Tap movie.
We did get lost in a radio station once, and we kept yelling, rock and roll! Okay, rock and roll! We didn't know where to go.
Yep. I find myself saying that every time I am in an undergroundy, tunnel, cavernous situation. I'm usually not trying to get onto a stage, but whenever I do happen to be at a theater or something, I never pass up the chance.
Although it's overused, these amps go to 11 is still absolutely hilarious. So
that's right. That's right. Yeah. And a little bit of inside trivia. Both Bob and myself were in theater musical things in high school. And we would, if I remember, take every chance to do that, Bob.
Absolutely. I tried desperately before the days of eBay and online shopping to get that green skeleton shirt that he had. I love that thing.
I think you found a close facsimile, Bob, if I remember.
It wasn't the exact same thing, but I found something close. But anyway, we'll go on from Spinal Tap. It'll come back up again for sure.
Let's tackle the world of sports, Bob. And
we can make a nice segue, actually, between Spinal Tap and the NFL draft, right?
All right, I'll let you take it.
No, you can have it.
I have to tell you, Bob. All right, let me do this.
We can pass it back and forth. How about that?
Never in my life, Bob, have I ever wished I had a Cypress Hill soundboard than right now. And if you asked me to do a segue, I would play the song Rock Superstar. So maybe I'll start that one out. So you wanna be a rock superstar? You live large, your big house. So all right, so there's Rock Superstar. That's... gets us into the NFL draft, but the song that I really want to play would either be I Want to Get High or the even better Hits from the Bong. That would be our NFL draft song 2016, Bob.
Yep. Now someone's gotta make a song called Gas Mask.
Gas Mask. Well, call up Be Real.
I know.
Cypress Hill, they might not be too busy, but for anyone who's not sure Snoop yet, Dog. Hasn't seen this yet, Ole Miss player Laramie Tunzel had his account hacked, his Twitter account. Actually, it's a really unfortunate story that cost this young man a whole bunch of money. He had his Twitter account hacked just hours before the first round of the NFL draft. Someone posted a video that he fully admits is him, taking one of the most comical pipe bong rips you'll ever see out of a
super
gas
creative.
Mask.
Super
now,
creative.
Now, I don't know. I don't profess to know the rules of marijuana smoking equipment or paraphernalia. Mm-hmm. But does a bong not require some kind of water element?
Well, yes, I would imagine so. But I think you get it's kind of a loose term when it comes to incorporating a gas mask. So
because I have to tell
and
you,
I don't know.
Yeah, no. If you watch this video, it's pretty clear that. This gas mask is connected to a glass pipe with a bulb, and then there is the screen and the bowl, I think is the right name for it.
Yes.
He's using
correct terms.
Lights the bowl and pulls in through this gas mask.
Yeah.
But there's no water, there's no bubbling. If I've listened to enough Cypress Hill, and I've listened to a lot of Cypress Hill, I think the bubbling sound is needs to happen. And then also after
that's your bong
he takes
water.
Yeah, that's your water. And Be Real, actually, in Hits from the Bong, mentions how bad that smells if it gets in the carpet. But so he takes the rip, and then he flips up the gas mask, and the still image that is making the rounds of the internet is him with a very, very contented smile on his face with the gas mask. But the pipe is actually flipped upside down, so had there been smelly water in there, it would have gone over his head. So that's my one point that I just wanted to make sure we're using the right terminology, but I'll go ahead and just use bong for now.
Yeah. But we've given the disclaimer that we know that bong may not be the right term to use when it comes to the gas mask.
That's right. So just so that if you want to get angry and put comments about how we don't know.
It's not a bong.
That's not a bong, dude. All right. That's my impression of those who are listening to this.
Right. That's our fan base.
Hey, bro. Get your words right, man. So in honor of this, Bob, I have the part of the first verse of Cypress Hill's, because I don't have the soundboard.
Okay.
I have part of the first verse of Hits from the Bong. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Never have
this
been
is
ready.
Just a little bit of poetry that maybe Laramie Tunzel was listening to. We have
we can only hope.
Pick it, pack it, fire it up, come along, and take a hit from the bong. Put the blunt down just for a second. Don't get me wrong, it's not a new method. Inhale, exhale. Now snap your
fingers. That's great. That's right that's like those old 50s songs where they tell you how to do the dance and everything.
Yeah, there you go. Inhale, exhale, just like explains how to do it.
Jump to the left.
On the Reddit discussion, X Antipater says, "Dear Mr. Tunzel, everyone smokes weed. Nobody gets filmed hitting a gas mask bong."
That's the thing with it. It's one thing to do it. It's another thing to let yourself be filmed. So, I don't know.
But I think, some other people in the discussion, Bob, and I think this is going to be true, is that as this next generation that grew up with smartphones as part of their everyday life hits adulthood, as Laramie Tunzel's generation is, we're going to see more of this stuff. And something that you and I were talking about off mic before, Bob, is teams are saying, if we can't field a team if we have to have people who have never touched marijuana. And I would go farther as to say that you could not fill a front office of old white dudes who went to college in the 60s and 70s who never touched some of that hot Chiba back when they were in college.
But I don't want to get into like the intelligence conversation, but it's one of the things you see with Johnny Manziel and now you see with Tunzel. It's that you're allowing yourself to be recorded. And I get it that you grew up in this generation where everyone has a smartphone and you can record things very easily. But still, if you're doing things and you're in that situation, like, you have to understand the consequences for your actions or the ramifications and the possibility that it's just out there now. And things that are out there that people want to see, they're going to see. Like, the video is taken down, but you can still see the video. And that's always going to be there. And I'm sure a number of the players selected in the first round do smoke pot and they just don't get filmed and they can pass the drug test. And so in the eyes of everybody else, they don't smoke, but
I mean,
it's a very popular thing to do. And so that's where I don't want to bring up the intelligence factor, but I mean, you're letting somebody film you do this. So it does bring into question your smart decision-making process, but
it is too bad, though, because the video, according to him, was a couple years old, and I think that had been backed up. So, you know, you just think, like, when you're 18, 19, you make a bad decision. It happens to get filmed. You may have said that, like, yeah, it's okay, film this, bro. Let me rip this. But you might not be making the best decisions when you tell them to film me ripping this.
Here's the thing. Tunzel came in, and he was, arguably, before all the trades, going to be one of the top three picks, maybe even the number one overall pick.
Yes.
You're telling me 3, 4, 5 years ago, he didn't know that he had the skill set and the ability to at least go into the NFL. Like, that's something where athletes always want to get paid in college and they want to be, you know, treated. I mean, they are treated differently a lot.
Yes.
And this is part of being treated differently. Like, you and I could smoke out of the gas mask bong and get filmed and no one's going to care. But we're not trying to be NFL football players or trying to get a job playing professional football. So, but if that were the thing that I wanted to do, I wouldn't have myself recorded smoking or taking a hit off a gas mask bong.
Thank you for finishing. Not to say smoking pot, but just filming, taking a big, deep rip with a gas mask bong.
I know. It's beyond just smoking pot. It's not Michael Phelps at a party, like, you know, getting past a chillum or something and taking a hit.
What was that last word? Out,
chillum.
Chillum. What's a chillum?
That's another device. Another drug paraphernalia.
Okay.
Weed paraphernalia, I should say.
Okay. So Cypress Hill doesn't often mention chillums.
They don't.
I don't know. I would know. Oh,
I'm sure. I bet they did. I bet they've dropped that before.
All right. I need to.
It rhymes so well. You know, hit the chillum.
Billum.
And chill with the chillum.
Get the fillum.
Yeah, if they haven't, I just gave Be Real some more lyrical fodder.
There you go. Rhymes to spit. Now, Bob, another part of this is his Instagram account was also hacked just minutes after his Twitter account was.
Well, he needs to have more complex passwords, I think. I think his passwords are just too easy.
That could be. But this is going to be probably a much bigger story, is that a text message conversation between Laramie Tunzel and one of the coaching staff at Ole Miss had him asking for money I believe it was to, because his mother needed to pay the light bill. So his mother was poor, not able to make ends meet, and him asking the coaching staff for a little scratch to make it by. Now they did ask him directly, some reporters
asked
him, hey, did you get paid? And he's like, well, I would probably have to say yes. And then in that same press conference, as they were trying to ask him more, he got ushered off the stage. I don't know if you saw that video.
I did not see that. I saw that he said yes, but I didn't see that.
In a follow-up question after he said that, a press person, I'm not sure who it was, came up and said, thank you, everybody. He's not taking more questions. Come on. And then you could see Laramie kind of look confused, like, well, wait, why am I being dragged away from the microphone when I'm giving incriminating evidence here?
Well, to the school, not necessarily to him, but.
No, I know, but just so Ole Miss might be in some trouble. So, like, much more, and the fines probably
shocking.
Much more than the millions that Laramie Tunsil lost by going to Miami. Although, Bob, I have to say Miami might be a good spot for him. They can finally use the storeroom of clean urine that they've saved since Ricky Williams played.
Absolutely. Oh, don't start dogging on Ricky Williams now. We're not going to go that far. I love Ricky Williams. He's awesome.
I do, too. No, I do, too. I do, too. It's great. But yeah,
he had some of the best hair in football until he shaved it.
I know. And then he had some of the best hair in, was it Stuck on You, that bad Farrelly Brothers movie that he cameoed in as the coach?
Oh, yeah. Wow. That was a horrible movie.
I think Bob and myself saw that movie together. Do I remember that correctly, Bob?
I think so, yeah. I think we went to the theater and saw that one. Wow.
Wow.
Matt Damon and Greg Kinnear, right?
I think so.
We're going our movie episode here.
We also Bob and I also saw Gigli together in a theater that did not push play on the movie because we were the only ones in the theater.
And we got it for free.
Zero tickets were sold, so they were not. And it was opening weekend of Gigli.
Yep. The news had already circulated. I had to see how bad it was.
I know, and we did.
Yeah. Speaking
and
of bad
no
movies,
one else did.
The last time I was in the theater alone was Zoolander 2. So,
oh really?
All the bad movies are lumped together. So
my last time was Gigli, but the time before that was seeing Surf Ninjas.
Oh.
On that was the other time where it was just me and like my family. There was like me and my sister and my mom.
Yeah.
At Surf Ninjas
and Surf
in 1993.
Yep. Oh, that ninja craze of the early 90s.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Chris Elliott was just knocked that one right out of the park.
Yep.
Like he does.
I enjoyed the Three Ninjas series. I enjoyed those as a kid. I like those.
Well, I think they were just like, okay, we got these kid ninjas, and we got like the Ninja Turtles are like these server dudes. Like, it's perfect.
Yeah. Let's just do it in real life.
They're like Hawaiian guys who need to fight this. There's like an invading army of something. I don't know. Anyway, Bob, I have a little bit of an NFL draft quiz for you.
Cool. Let's do it.
It doesn't, that I know of, involve any Cypress Hill style shenanigans.
Gas mask bong.
There's no gas mask bongs in this quiz, but we'll see if we can come up with one before we're there. I'm sure that's already a hashtag, Bob.
I know. Hashtag gas mask.
And a lot of these, I found this quiz and I doctored it up a little bit, but a lot of these kind of hit right in the sweet spot of when we would have been paying attention. So you should do good on this one, Bob.
All right.
Who was the number one overall pick in 2001? Was it Michael Vick? Was it Curtis Enos? Was it Tim Couch? Or was it Carson Palmer?
In 2001?
2001.
2001. Tim, no, I'll go Mike Vick.
Mike Vick is correct, Bob.
Yeah.
Very well done. Mike Vick was the number one overall pick.
Tim Couch was 99, right?
And speaking of, we don't pick anybody except the very top tier of men with character for our team. The Atlanta Falcons, one of the teams who was reportedly took him off after the bong rip. Well, they're like, nope, we'll take him off the board.
They
we
have
only
reasons
pick
why,
ups,
Corey.
Upstanding gentlemen like Michael Vick, right?
Well, no, gentleman I believe Michael Vick is the reason why they do that.
Whose character could never be called into question, but we'll pick Mike Vick right at the top.
Oh,
anyway,
that's a sad story.
Anyway, who was selected second overall behind Peyton Manning in his draft, Bob? Was it Matt Leinart, Drew Brees, Ryan Leaf, or none of the above? So
Ryan,
second...
don't ask me that question again, Leaf.
That is correct, Bob. You're 2 for 2. Ryan Leaf was picked second behind Peyton Manning. I think, was that the 1998?
97 or 98.
Okay. All right. This is a true or false one, Bob. A little bit before our time. O.J. Simpson was the first overall selection in 1971. Is that true or false?
I'll go true.
Incorrect, Bob. It was false. No? The number one pick in 71 was Jim Plunkett to the Boston Patriots. O.J. was the number one overall pick in 1969.
Oh, so it was the year. Gotcha.
Yes, the year was the kicker there.
In question. Roger.
Fourth question, Bob. Name the pick and the team John Elway was selected in 1983. And this is multiple choice. Okay, so the pick number and the team who selected him. Okay. Was it third round, second pick to Denver? Was it first overall to Baltimore? Was it first overall to Denver? Or first overall to the Patriots?
It was first overall to Baltimore.
It was first overall Baltimore Colts, John Elway. Bob, three for four so far. Very well. Very well. All right.
Reign in the three.
I know. Great job. Which expansion team in the NFL drafted David Carr first overall? Was it Jacksonville, Dallas, Houston, or Oakland?
Houston.
Houston, have no problems. Bob got that one right. Oakland, an interesting choice for an expansion team.
Right. Well, they might be the Las Vegas Raiders here pretty soon, so an expansion
team.
That's right.
All right, two more questions to go, Bob. Which NFL bust was selected first overall in 1999? Was it Cade McNown, Rashan Salaam, Curtis Enos again, or Tim Couch? 1999, first overall NFL bust.
That depends on how you, what you consider a bust. Is it Tim Couch?
Oh, no, it's the first overall. The bust is a hint.
The bust is a hint?
They're all busts. Which one was first overall in 99?
I'll go Tim Couch.
It was Tim Couch. You actually said that earlier in the quiz. You got it. He was 99, and that was a question later on. Very well done, Bob.
I like the NFL draft. I always liked watching it.
All right. Now, this one might be trickier for you. Who got the first overall pick in 1997? Was it Oakland, Detroit, St. Louis Rams, or Washington? So first overall in 97, Oakland, Detroit, St. Louis, or Washington?
They didn't hold on to it then, right? Or do you know?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Probably who picked the first overall in 97.
Oakland, St. Louis, Washington, what was the fourth team?
Detroit was the other one.
Detroit. I'm going to shot in the dark here. Washington?
It was St. Louis, although I'll have to look up. We'd have to check that, Bob. I'm not sure if they traded that away. The question is worded a little bit confusingly, and I stole this from an internet website, so we can't even tell if it's going to be accurate or not. But,
St. Louis years.
From those bad years. Now, you got Tim Couch right away, Bob. You notice Curtis Enos popped up there twice? That was me. And Cade McNown and Rashan Salaam is just – the Chicago Bears have just broken my heart so many times with their first picks.
Did you see the Bears pick? Were you happy with their selection?
I didn't see the linebacker that they picked up. No, I didn't look up much about him, Bob.
But they traded up to get him.
Did they? It's not that I don't trust them. It's not that I don't trust them because, Curtis Enos was like everybody was going after Curtis Enos that year. It was like people were trading up, like Curtis Enos was the hot pick. And then he held out for Maroney and then promptly tore his ACL. And
some tough luck.
Tough luck. I don't know.
But it seems like in the NFL, though, the teams can change their mythos kind of with their draft strategy as it goes. Like they were kind of actually mentioning it a little bit in the during the draft coverage, like certain teams like the Steelers and the Packers, they never really do much to move around the draft board. But other teams like the Seahawks, Vikings, Patriots, I guess the Browns moved around quite a bit actually last night. But they just, trading picks to get picks to move up, to move down, yada, yada, yada. It's different strategies, but they produce, different results.
Real quick question. Do you think that the draft in the NFL is more influential than MLB because of the farm system and player development is so much different in the majors?
I think it's because of college football and you create superstars in college. And so you can create a major event. A lot of the guys that get drafted in baseball, first off, there's hundreds of rounds. So
yes,
it's a little more daunting. And the guys that get drafted even in the first round, you may never have even heard of. So in baseball,
and you may never see them in a major league uniform.
Well, majority of them, the first rounders generally get there.
Okay. All right.
They have to get to the majors. You may not know their names, but
someone who knows nothing about major league drafting or farm system at all. Yeah. I was asking you as a serious question. So
yeah, well, it's I do think it has the NFL draft's popularity has a lot to do with college football's popularity.
Okay.
And because you can look at just juxtapose it to college baseball's popularity, and not a lot of the baseball players actually go to college. Some are drafted out of high school.
Right.
And
right.
So, Ping! Yeah, it's. Sometimes, the NFL draft, I think, is just, it's the most fun draft that there is. The NBA draft being probably number two.
Yeah.
But look at the popularity of both those college sports.
Right. Well, the NFL draft has never held a lot of interest for me. This year excluded when you've got bong rips in the gas mask being broadcast on ESPN, I presume. I only checked it this morning and saw all the fireworks after.
They didn't show the video on the NFL network, but.
No, they didn't.
I will say this. I used to love watching the draft, and I still watch it. But all the pomp and circumstance that they have going on, like Deion Sanders interviewed every draftee after he was drafted, and it was, I love Deion Sanders, but man, it was painful to watch. You know, it was, and especially like when Tunsil got interviewed, he's like, "All right, elephant in the room, let's talk about this. What are you gonna do now? You know, you got to fly straight, man. Now, what are the Miami Dolphins getting?" And it's like. It kind of goes back to that whole Cam Newton press conference thing. Like, ask if you're going to have an interview, ask real questions. Don't just ask, like, what are the Miami Dolphins getting? They're getting a shitty pot-smoking college student, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever.
I wonder if Neon Deion ever partook.
Right.
If he's telling this kid, you gotta straighten up, son. Come on. Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know what? You'll never I don't think maybe you won't hear as much of a problem with baseball because in baseball you can it's not illegal to smoke weed in the major leagues. Illegal in the minor leagues, but not in the majors. So
there you go, Bob. What would that sound like if Neon Deion had partook? Yeah,
I think we can do that. I think that worked.
I think there's ice in his bong. I don't know what's going on.
That's a trick. That's a trick. Yeah.
I'll have to look that one up or ask my friend B Real. What do you think, Bob, if we go over to talk about some NBA playoffs that are happening?
I think it's been too long. We need to talk about some NBA playoffs.
Yes, because we haven't talked about it at all yet since they started.
Yeah,
so exactly. We've got, as of this recording, we've got five teams through, and we've got three series that are still playing off in the first round. So
we have Cleveland, San Antonio, Golden State, Atlanta, and OKC that have all advanced, and Oklahoma City is going to be playing San Antonio tomorrow, actually, as of this recording. But tonight we have three exciting games going on. We have Toronto versus Indianapolis, and Toronto's leading that series 3-2. Then we have Miami versus the surprising Charlotte Hornets, who are leading that series 3-2. So Michael Jordan's team getting the job done, at least up into this point.
Yeah.
Then we have Portland versus the Los Angeles Clippers, who have, I don't know if they have a disappointing series, but they're not living up to the expectations, I think, that a lot of the fans have, are the Clippers. But Portland is leading that series 3-2. So I thought it'd be fun, Corey, to go through and do a little pick 'em, because we haven't done that in a while either.
That's right. Let's do it. Those teams at the end there, Bob, those are the ones that the mainstream America kind of forgets have basketball teams still.
True. But, you know, the way that the Hornets are playing, I mean, they're showing a lot of heart. It's kind of fun to see a team that's been proverbially bad, you know, for most of their time actually doing well and looking to advance in the playoffs. So that's always kind of fun.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's nice to see, honestly, what the Golden State Warriors are doing without Steph Curry. Really kind of validates how good of a team they actually are. And then you got the old standbys, San Antonio and OKC's back in there, and Cleveland, of course.
Yep.
Nice to have everybody healthy for Cleveland. I thought that was something last year where they were kind of shortchanged a little bit. But
yes. Yep.
Anyway.
Well, we'll see how it does shake out there. But let's get those picks, Bob. Which game should we go to first?
Well, let's go first game up, Toronto-Indianapolis. Who do you got?
Toronto-Indy. Simply because I like I love the mascot, and I think the ghost of Vince Carter is going to come back and make the Toronto Raptors come through in the clutch and take the series.
You finally come to my side with Toronto, haven't you, Corey?
Yes.
You believe.
I was never not on your side with Toronto.
Oh,
I've
we can go back a couple episodes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there was some trash talk there, I guess. Yeah,
there
sure.
was,
but
yes.
The ghost of Vince Carter, God rest his soul, is going to come back and help Toronto take that series.
Don't believe he's dead. I don't believe he's dead at all.
Does he still even play? Does he still play for the team?
No.
Am I that off?
I'm sure Vince Carter actually can still play, but he does not.
Okay. All right. Good. That would be really embarrassing if I said the ghost of a player and they were still not only alive, but actively on the roster.
The ghost of Paul Pierce, who's still playing.
Yes, but the ghost of Pierre Pierce can lend Iowa all of his support.
From jail. Right. Yes. I think he's still in jail. I don't know.
I don't know, and I don't care. So who do you have, Bob, in that Toronto Pacers
match? I can't get off the Drake Toronto Raptors bandwagon. So I'm sticking
all right.
with it.
Toronto all the way around.
I'm not a fan of Drake and his celebrity fandom that he has, but anyway.
Yep. Well, there's not
we'll
much we can do about that here from our chairs.
No, we can only try, Corey, right? We can only try.
All right. What's the next series?
Miami-Charlotte.
Miami-Charlotte.
Heat versus Hornets. I'm gonna go right away. I'll just go Hornets.
Okay.
Jeremy Lin. Kemba Walker, they're gonna beat him.
Okay.
And I believe it's in Charlotte, so.
You like that start? Okay. I'm thinking, yes, I'm the ghosts I'm talking to are of one Muggsy Bogues and one Alonzo Mourning. But I'm not sure if they're I think they're a little bit angry that Charlotte abandoned them for a few years.
Well, and Alonzo went to play for the Heat. It's a bit of a connection there.
Yeah, see, and it's the spirits, the message is muddled, Bob. The message is muddled. Mm-hmm. So I think I'll go contrary to you. I'm going to go with Miami in this one.
You going to talk to the ghost of Dwayne Wade?
I'm trying, man. But the barrier between the worlds is kind of funny this afternoon. So
yeah, it gets a little fuzzy when you, well, Alonzo Mourning, you get that.
I know,
that
and see, I think now, like Muggsy Bogues never lost faith, but Alonzo,
no.
I think his. He has split, so his loyalties are divided.
Yeah, if you're going by the Alonzo Mourning meter, I think he'd lean more towards the Heat than he would the Hornets. So
TM 2016 Ziggy Bleachers, the Alonzo Mourning meter.
We'll get that one. Just
that's a mouthful.
It is, but
let's see if we can get a picture of him from like Sports Illustrated for Kids.
Yeah,
and then we'll put him on the meter with his big hands.
Yep. It'll just any decision we're on the fence about, we'll just send it to the Alonzo Mourning meter.
There you go. That's a shout out to all of you SI for Kids subscribers from the mid-90s. Hello.
For like the 6 months they actually did it.
Yes, for the very brief run. You may have also gotten a Ranger Rick in your mailbox with SI for Kids. I think they may have packaged them together.
With your Highlights magazine.
With your Highlights magazine. You could read your Timber Toes comics and get a picture of Alonzo Mourning's hands. And show him how big his hands are holding a Coke can.
Yep. No Andre the Giant, but impressive.
No, he was dead long before that magazine probably rolled off the first press.
Yeah, probably. All right, the last series here that we have is Portland Trail Blazers versus the Los Angeles Clippers. The other LA team versus the Jail Blazers, who are not the Jail Blazers anymore, but that's just too awesome.
Yeah, no, the Jail Blazers will always stick with me. I think from the Pacific Northwest, Sean Kemp is going to make the trip down from Seattle to Portland, and he's going to help the Blazers take this one because I cannot think of a Blazers player from the 90s off the top of my head. Clyde Drexler, maybe?
Yeah, there you go.
The ghost of Clyde Drexler and Sean
Clyde
Kemp are going to longtime rivals. Drexler and Kemp are going to finally work together.
Yep.
Jail Blazers in six, Bob.
I'm going to go with the ghost of Scottie Pippen's late career, and I'm going to agree with you on the Portland Trailblazers.
All right.
Remember, Pippen ended his career. He might have come back to the Bulls for the end of it, but he spent a little bit of time in the Pacific Northwest with Portland. So I'll agree with you on that one. So we're thinking the same way with Toronto and Portland, and then we're separated with Miami and Charlotte with the ghost of Alonzo Mourning. So we'll see which way the Alonzo Mourning meteor goes. But should be an exciting playoff matchups coming up. We have San Antonio, Oklahoma City coming up tomorrow. Any initial thoughts on that game or that series?
I'd like to see how Oklahoma City's high-scoring offense will match up against San Antonio's pace. That's a little bit slower, a little bit more low-scoring, a little college-y.
Yeah. Do you think that OKC finally kind of slays their San Antonio dragon and moves on?
I don't know. I don't. Does the ghost of Andrew Bogut have anything to say about this situation?
from Golden State, he might.
From Golden State.
but that's a whole different series.
That's a whole other thing. Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just thinking.
He has one that is actually still playing. So.
Yes. Yes. No, that's right. No, I think that the rest of this will be exciting. I'm going to let these guys slug it out until the finals, and then I'll tune in and see what Mike Tirico thinks. I think I get all of my basketball knowledge from Mike Tirico.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's the only way to go.
Yes. College, NBA.
General life advice from Tirico. So.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of modeling myself after his career trajectory.
Exactly.
What do you think, Bob?
It'll be interesting to see how OKC with their – I mean – you'd hate to say that, like, the Spurs are a team and OKC has players, you know? So, like, you know, get a team that can play as one versus OKC. If Russell Westbrook has an amazing game, like, chances are they're going to win the game. Yep. And when he doesn't have an amazing game, it's kind of like you said, very college-like. So, I think the advantage goes to San Antonio, though. I think Popovich and San Antonio and company, they just always have something special when it comes to the playoffs, and the experience, I think, plays a huge part as well.
All right. Well,
and I kind of want to see Greg Popovich give more interviews. So.
Yeah, there you go. I will see if I can get a pick from you. Will the finals matchup be anything other than Cleveland's Golden State?
Yeah, I think so.
You think it will?
Especially,
okay.
Yeah, especially out of the East. I don't want to discredit Cleveland, but I think they're overhyped. I think
all right,
want it
all
too
right.
bad.
I just wanted to get your early prediction.
Yeah.
If
I think it's possible.
Okay. All right. I think that result is going to happen. I think it is going to be that, but I could see it going the other way. It's just, if I had to bet on that or the field, everything else,
yeah,
it'd be a tough choice.
Yeah. Golden State, with especially how they played since Curry's gone down, I mean, that's the big question mark. If you were to reverse the situation with Cleveland, and if LeBron goes down, I don't think Cleveland can respond the way that Golden State has. So it's not that LeBron will go down or has a chance to go down, but it's impressive that Golden State can still put up the numbers that they are putting up and they beat the Rockets pretty bad. And Cleveland, I know they swept Detroit, but... I don't think Detroit's nearly as good. I don't think either Houston or Detroit were very good teams, but
no,
we'll
I don't
see
think the ghost of Grant Hill had enough power to overcome that.
No, for him or the Magic. It'll be a fun NBA playoff season. It goes on forever, but that's kind of nice, actually. It's not like one and done. You know, the fun of March Madness over 3 weeks is awesome, and I love it, but it's also nice to have a little bit of time in between everything. You don't have to watch every single game, so it's nice. So, and speaking of things that take forever, we can go into some baseball. How about?
Yes, let's go on and talk about a little bit of baseball. Lots of news there, Bob, including, and I've been waiting to say this all day, Marlins star D. Gordon gets deactivated for 80 games
80
here,
games.
Starting immediately. Putting the ban hammer down on young D. Bob. Holy cats and dogs.
That's surprising. But earlier this month, Chris Colabello from the Toronto Blue Jays also got popped for PED use as well. So,
yes.
I know there were players that thought other players were still using. And I think baseball gets a bad rap for the drug use that they have. Because they have such good they have testing policies that are better than other sports. So they actually get players to test positive for things. Whereas, like the NFL specifically, their drug testing policy is a little more, shadowy.
a little more Vince McMahon-y, Bob.
Yeah, how about that? Vince McMahon-y is a great adjective for it.
Yeah,
so.
I think that's a good adjective for most things. Mm-hmm. I did get, Bob, if you care to... I did get the name of the drug and the function of the drug that he was caught with. Would you like to go through the technical Wikipedia details?
Absolutely. So, it's not the Manny Ramirez woman's.
It is not that one. Yeah, it is not that one. So he did test positive for testosterone, regular old testosterone, and clostebol. And clostebol, from the Wikipedia page, usually as the ester clostebol acetate or clostebol enanthate, is a synthetic anabolic androgenic steroid. Clostebol is the 4-chloral derivative of the natural hormone testosterone. It is a weak anabolic steroid, which was used by athletes from the German Democratic Republic of East Germany. Citation needed.
Wow.
It is a version of testosterone that is chlorinated so as to prevent conversion to hydrotestosterone, DHT, while also rendering the chemical incapable of conversion to estrogen. So it is a mild anabolic steroid. And D. Gordon, the discussion, Bob, is that he's got multi-all-star games. He got his big payout. He's got his batting title. He's got all this guaranteed money. Why risk it taking testosterone and clostebol?
I guess it depends on how long he's been taking it. I mean, really. Yeah. And because you can take it and still pass tests. I mean, I'm sure there's ways to mask it. And I think that's the whole problem with the drug testing policy is that I think you can get around it. So the question then becomes, how long has he been using it, man? Can you trust what he tells you? You know, that's the other thing with all the other steroid users and stuff. If they got popped once, can you really believe when they started using it? And I don't know. We've kind of gone back and forth on steroids and PEDs and stuff around on this podcast. I don't mind it so much. I don't think it like taints the game, and I don't think D. Gordon has been one of the top 5 baseball players in baseball because of it. Yes. I always go back. Barry Bonds actually had a really great thing when he was talking about when they were accusing him of all the steroid stuff, and he said, no drug can make your hand-eye coordination better. And I think that's still very true. I think being strong and having muscles doesn't necessarily make you a good athlete or a good baseball player or a good football player, yada, yada, yada. There's all those other skill sets that there are no drugs for, and, you know.
But, Bob, it may not improve your hand-eye coordination, but it can certainly help you lead the league in stolen bases, or in Barry Bonds' career, help you lead the league in strikeouts, walks, and dingers.
Yeah. It's true. I don't think he ever led the league in strikeouts.
Maybe he did.
He had a
Maybe
great he, eye. Yeah, he led the lead in walks and home runs.
He did get quite a few walks, as I remember. And
that's the
dingers.
Thing with it. If his head is 2 times the size that it was when he started in the league, he still has an amazing eye of the strike zone. And I mean,
there you go.
I don't know. I'm not a huge Barry Bonds fan, but I do respect the hell out of what he was able to do on the baseball field, especially in the batter's box.
Now, do you put any credence, Bob, into the interesting coincidence that Barry Bonds goes to work as a hitting coach for the Miami Marlins, and then
I didn't put that together, but that's kind of funny.
Illuminati baseball confirmed, Bob. I think. I don't know.
Yeah. that's why Bonds is a really good hitting coach.
He's a great hitting coach. Suddenly his team's performance just starts going up. Yeah. The performance of his teams is enhanced when Barry Bonds comes to your team. I bet that's on his resume.
I was just going to say, I bet that's on his resume. Yeah.
I will
it's
enhance
on his business card.
The performance, and those are all italicized words.
A player enhancement coach.
Ooh, a player enhancement coach. I like it. So it's a shock running through baseball, but you say, Bob, it should not be as big a shock or as big a deal as it is.
Yeah, I don't think it should be a shock that players are still trying to get an advantage. I mean, it's a name shock. That's the name. That's the shocking part about it, is that it's D. Gordon.
Right.
When Chris Colabello, the Blue Jays, did it, I mean, he was a independent baseball player. I mean, he was one of those 4A players, that guys that kind of live between AAA and the majors. And last year he put together a very productive season for the Blue Jays, and was supposed to be another cornerstone of that team this year. And so another 80-game suspension, but he's not a big name, so it gets swept under the carpet a little bit easier. And like Jake Arrieta has been facing a lot of the accusations. I know he was in a Twitter battle with Stephen A. Smith.
I have the text of that Twitter battle, Bob, if you'd like to go over it.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
All right. So yes, Stephen A. Smith, famous blowhard for ESPN, known for
now one of the last remaining blowhards there.
Yes, I know they're getting rid of Stephen A. You know, you've had an illustrious career, bud, but you better watch yourself, because ESPN has shown that they are not afraid to fire you if you say something that's too controversial. Although Stephen A. doesn't get so much outside of sports, and that's kind of where people get in trouble at ESPN.
Skip Bayless is leaving. That was my reference there.
Oh, Skip Bayless. Okay.
He's losing his counterpart.
Yes, he's losing his buddy Skip. But so Stephen A. says on Twitter, and this was a video, he included it with a video that he did for his segment. He said, Jake Arrieta shouldn't be laughing about questions surrounding his performance. Ugh. And Arrieta, in a rare fireback from an athlete to a vague accusation of performance-enhancing drugs, he said, laughing is exactly what I will do. You continue to do your thing, though. No one will undercut my hard work. Whoa. And then Stephen A. comes back with a little passive-aggressive. He says, I hear you, J. Arrieta 34. It's your life/career. You've earned the right to do what you want. The best to you. That's not, whoa, man.
Well, I have a big problem with the analysts that are, I mean, I'm using a nice term for Stephen A. Smith, but the guys that just have to say something. And every time I go to the gym and First Take is on, I'm like, oh man, I'm not listening to that again, because it's just amazing. And Stephen A. Smith, I know, is not a baseball fan, because every time baseball is brought up, he brings up drugs. And I remember when the Chapman stuff happened, that alleged incident and everything, and he was talking about violence in baseball and how baseball's never really done anything for domestic issues. And he was talking about how good of a job football has done with this domestic thing and domestic abuse situations. And it's like, they
how
haven't
well
done a very
football
good job.
Has done? Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't say football has done a great job.
Yeah. And it's one thing to be like, oh, baseball hasn't done a good job, and they should look at the NFL and how they've handled their situation as a way to handle their situations.
You mean, and yeah, so like, so you mean try to cover it up until it gets busted and then go way over the top. That's how. Yeah. That's definitely how
apparently
you should handle.
Apparently so. Yeah. So Stephen A. He's a professional troll. I mean, he just says things
troll.
To get a reaction.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's one of the OG professional trolls. Like,
yeah.
Before
he really
the internet
is.
Existed, that was his job. But yeah, I thought it was like, wow, get passive aggressive. Like, it's your life, man. You do what you want. My best to you. Like, whoa, yikes. I mean, although I know. Controversy is the reason he has a job, and the fact that we are talking about him is the reason that he has a job.
Absolutely.
Because now the six people who hear this are going to go look up his video, and they're going to watch it, and ESPN gets six more ad views on their link. You're welcome,
You're
ESPN.
Welcome.
And Stephen A., God bless America. I have a tweet, Bob, from another baseball legend. It's a little bit of a non sequitur. It's not. This is a feel good tweet.
Okay, good. We need that.
Yes, legendary Yankees pitcher and one of the all time greatest names in baseball, David Cone, who I did not know knew how to use Twitter. Apparently, has a active Twitter account.
Yes.
And he just says very, very quickly, the last time I got in this late on a charter plane, or I should set this up as a joke, Bob. I'll set it up as a joke. All right. I got in the charter plane so late.
How late was it?
Last time I got in a charter plane this late, Wade Boggs fell down the stairs and we had to pick him up off the runway.
I saw that. That's funny. It's an awesome picture that it paints in your head. Just that little two sentences.
Yes. Yes. Like, no, I know. It's perfect. Perfect. But I think he didn't have enough characters to set it up like that joke. So Dave, I got your back, buddy. I will set it up.
David Cone, part of the awesome Yankees broadcasters that they have for the Yes Network and all the Yankees games that they do. They have some really cool broadcasters, David Cone being one of them. So if you ever want to hear David Cone's voice and watch a Yankees game, tune in.
All right. There's a little plug for the MLB.TV streaming package, Bob.
Oh, I didn't mention that. I didn't mention that.
Oh, well, there we go.
However you want to watch baseball.
Yes. So let's do a quick follow-up, Bob, over a story that we talked about last week. The Conor McGregor...
Our UFC WWE.
Yes,
right?
Yes. The rumors about that, and the rumors are still flying as to whether or not he's part of UFC. So a real quick recap. Conor McGregor was scheduled to fight at UFC 200, their 200th event coming up later this year. It was going to be a rematch between himself and the guy who beat him. Was it Nate Diaz, I think, in that really brutal chokehold? And suddenly McGregor tweets, yep, I'm retired, I'm out of the sport. And it was later revealed that day that he was expected to come and do a press tour. He didn't feel like doing a press tour. He wanted to focus on training. Said that that was the reason that he lost the last match, is because instead of training, he was doing the press tour. Excuse me, Mike. I've been coughing and trying to get through this today. So he tweeted he's retired. Then he tweets he's not retired. And then as of our last recording, Dana White has said he's off of UFC 200. Whether or not he comes back, he's not on the card.
You got to say it in the voice, Corey. You got to say it in the voice.
UFC. You're Conor McGregor here. Is not going to be in UFC 200. And then Conor McGregor, a couple days later, this is after our last recording, tweeted, hey, I'm back on UFC 200. Thanks, at Dana White, for making this happen for the fans.
Really?
And then Dana White comes back a couple hours later and says, I don't know where he got that idea, but I'm going to open up a can, and he's going to be in here. And yeah, all right, so I'm trying to get my Dana White, my dream of him joining pro wrestling with Conor McGregor.
Dana White McMahon.
Dana White McMahon. Oh, so he needs to marry into Stephanie McMahon and change his name.
Well, I believe Triple H and Stephanie McMahon already have that storyline going. So
okay,
maybe,
well then,
maybe
then
Vince
he's gonna
McMahon
have to
has
break
a long
them
lost
up.
Daughter.
Yeah, wouldn't that be a good story if he came in and broke them up?
Or they could be really progressive and Dana White could fall in love with Shane McMahon and then they could have
there we go.
That might piss off a lot of the religious freedom fans that they have, though.
Yeah, I would not put a lot of money on pro wrestling becoming real progressive anytime soon. And
no.
Be like having sensitive portrayals of diverse characters, Bob.
But if Shane and Dana fell in love, I mean, that'd be nice.
This is the promotion that the Iron Sheik is still part of their active roster, Bob.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah,
that's our second Iron Sheik reference in 2 weeks. So
I know, isn't it
lovely?
Way
to drop that in there.
Oh,
that's awesome.
I love it. So as of right now, Conor McGregor, according to the commish, Dana White, he is off of UFC 200.
You're out of here.
But could be back. I love it. He could come back for 201 or 202. But rumors continue to fly as to whether or not he will just quit and join WWE or another fighting promotion.
It's funny, like baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, none of them want controversy outside of the actual sport happening. I mean, all the higher ups and the front office guys, they try desperately to not have any off the field stuff affect their sport. But it seems like UFC falls into that pro wrestling category. It's like, oh yeah, the more stuff that happens outside of the actual event is better. It's awesome because it creates everyone talking about it for some reason. But that's where you get this back and forth. And when I always laugh when they meet, like the fighters meet before the match, they get the weigh in, I think. And they always start talking trash and there's always like some type of melee or they get in their face really close. And I don't know.
Well, it's pro wrestling. I mean,
it's pro wrestling.
What happens in pro wrestling? Right? Don't you have backstage brawls in pro wrestling? I mean, like all
that's
of
true.
These things and all this showmanship and everything else is involved. And that's why the
but
Conor McGregor
real,
would be such
Corey.
A good fit.
It's real, Corey. It's real.
But it's real.
There's
I mean,
real blood.
God, it's brutal. Oh, I can't. I can barely watch it, UFC. Like, ugh.
I can't. I can't watch it.
Man. It's just... Yeah.
I don't. I like watching pro wrestling. I mean, back when I was a kid. And every once in a while I can get nostalgic, but I like knowing that they're not really trying to, you know, potentially kill that other person.
I know. See, I wonder because, you know, the thing is like when you're a kid, you always know like, man, pro wrestling is so cool, but wouldn't it be even cooler if it was real? You know, that's like the thing we dreamed about for 25 years. And then now that we have it, I'm kind of like, ugh.
Yeah.
This is not what I want.
Well, and I remember when like ECW it became really big, and it was big on the, you know, the kind of the tagline that it's really real, like this stuff really happens, and that was fun. I mean, that was great, but you know those poor wrestlers, they really had to abuse their bodies and do things that I don't think our bodies are really meant for. But damn, if it wasn't entertaining, Corey.
I know, and now 20 years later, they're paying with their lives.
Yeah, then none of them can do wrestling anymore because. They've
They're
taken
dead.
Too many barbed wire bats to the head, and
Yeah.
Be interesting to see. But not a lot of the ECW guys are still wrestling, at least in the WWE, or I think TNA is the other one. But
yeah, I don't know. Yeah. They're gonna end up like the maniac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, who lived the actual life of the maniac character and died tragically young after having a successful wrestling career, falling off the edge, losing his mind, and then dead at a young age. What a tragedy. Yep. Rowdy Roddy Piper came to kick ass and chew bubble gum, but I'm all out of gum.
Yep. Ah, he was awesome. He was great. And he was great in that show, too. I mean, man.
I know. God,
and what was the movie that he was in where he wore the sunglasses? And
yeah, it's They Live.
They
and that's
Live.
Where that's where that line came from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
that
movie. That's a great movie.
It is a great movie. Keith David says, not this year. And then they get into a fist fight, and it's hilarious.
That's another one for all the young viewers. If you haven't seen They Live, go watch that.
Yes, do look up They Live. You'll understand where that old episode of The Simpsons came from. Although if you're of a certain age, you might not have seen that old episode of Treehouse of Horror. Let's finish up, Bob, with a roundup of a less depressing topic: the world of video game speedruns. I've got a few of them for you if you're ready.
Awesome. I'm still trying to beat Goat Simulator.
Yeah, well, you'll see. Maybe that'll be a stream in the future of Sticky Bleachers, is Bob trying to get through Goat Simulator. We have a new world record in Deus Ex, the Any% category, 34 minutes, 46 seconds by Gel Marie. He beat it by 4 seconds. The previous was 34:50. Halo 2 on the legendary difficulty, Bob, in 1 hour, 36 minutes, 45
legendary.
Seconds by Cryphon. The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. Now, we've talked about this game before, but not this category before.
Okay.
This is the Any% No Item Manipulation No Wrong Warp category. The time, I'll explain
standard,
the category, but the time is 1 hour 16 minutes 59 seconds by Valiant Link. Now, that category is in the game you can trick your item screen to fool the game into thinking you have items that you haven't gotten yet. And
really?
It allows you to skip big chunks of the game.
Interesting.
And then wrong warping is where you go through a door or some kind of portal, and you trick the game into sending you a place that you're not supposed to go. So, for example, in that game, you're supposed to, when you go through this door, it's supposed to bring you to the next room and load the next room, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a way that you can trick the game into, all right, I'll go through this door, and you trick the game into loading you at the final boss. And that's actually the fastest way to beat Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, has you do that when you're still a kid. At the end of the first dungeon, you can instantly warp yourself as a child to the final Ganon fight and beat the game.
And
this is a category that does not use any of those. So it's basically beat the game as fast as you can using some other tricks, but none of these major glitches.
Gotcha. Those are major glitches. I mean, do you think those were on purpose, or they were mistakes that were found?
They were mistakes, and it took us 20-plus years to find them. I mean, a lot of these tricks
it
are still being discovered.
Thing.
No, it was not something that people were doing back, you know, when you and I were playing WCW versus NWO Revenge on our 64s. Yep.
There are no glitches in that game. That game is just perfect. So
you're right. This game's rock solid. And then one more game, Bob. This is the PC game, Age of Empires 2, the William Wallace campaign, in 14 minutes, 48 seconds by SciFly. So congratulations to all of those new world record holders.
Yeah, very, very much congratulations to everybody. That's awesome.
Yes. And I think that's going to bring us to a close here for this week on Sticky Bleachers. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel, where we have a long series of baseball simulations we're kind of in the middle of right now. We've got the current rosters programmed by our good friend Baron Von Lecter. Although we're running into, now that season-ending injuries are happening, we're running into things where we're looking for altering the rosters or just making up stories about how these guys came back magically.
Hashtag ninth inning nachos.
And we are enjoying every game our ninth inning nachos. So do send us your ninth inning nachos on our Twitter account, where we're Sticky Bleachers, on Facebook, where we're Sticky Bleachers, and of course the aforementioned YouTube page, where we're Sticky Bleachers. Like us, subscribe us, retweet us, share us. We would love your feedback also, and we would appreciate your support in that way, Bob.
Absolutely. Let us know what you think, and help us try to find some more things to talk about, because we like to have the interaction as well. So
how about a final thought, Bob?
Final thought.
I have a final tweet. This is from the Faux NFL Network. That's at FAUX NFL Network.
Very popular.
The message is breaking the hearts of all the victims selected by the Cleveland Browns. Hashtag NFL Draft 2016. I am Corey for Sticky Bleachers signing off.
I'm Bob. We'll see you guys next week.
Play ball!